So I have to disagree with Carrie a little bit. She did her children's message, and she said that father should be a million-dollar word of the Bible, and I disagree because one of the requirements for my million-dollar words of the Bible is it has to have at least three syllables. So, like, regeneration is five syllables, so it counts today. Well, if you would, I invite you to get your Bible and turn with me to Titus chapter 3. And to look at our sermon text today. Or if you're using your Pew Bible, that's going to be on page 1271, Titus chapter 3. So we're looking at this next million-dollar word of the Bible. And with a lot of these big words, it's important for you to know what they mean, to be able to define them, like the word justification, how we are made right with God through Jesus, or the word atonement, how God removes our sin through Jesus. But with the word regeneration, it's not something that you primarily need to know up here, but something you can experience here in your heart. Because regeneration is about a relationship with God. And it begins here. It begins in your heart and in your life with the spiritual rebirth and renewal that comes from God doing a transforming work in your heart and in your life. And before we look at this word, let's bow our heads and ask God to bless our study of His word today. Father in heaven, we're thankful that you speak to us through the pages of sacred scripture. And in ages past, you spoke through prophets and apostles, but now, Lord, you speak through your Son, Jesus, and you continue to speak through your written word. And we pray, Father, that as we open your word this morning, that you would bring about renewal in our hearts and in our lives so that we would know you, know your love, and know your will for our lives more and more. Help us, Lord, to live as followers of Jesus as we look at these words, regeneration and renewal. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I remember that when I was a kid, one of my summer traditions was to go outside and try to find a caterpillar. And we would, get this caterpillar and we'd maybe put it in a jar or an empty fish tank. And I would always try to find the monarch caterpillars because they were so colorful and because they were just so easy to find. You'd just go to a patch of milkweed, and there would be some monarch caterpillars munching away. They were lean, green, eating machines, right? And so we'd take one of these caterpillars, we'd put it in this empty fish tank, we'd make sure that they've got enough leaves to eat and maybe some sticks to climb on, and then you just would watch and you'd wait. And then one day, you'd wake up in the morning, and you'd look in that fish tank, and there would not be a caterpillar. The caterpillar was gone. You'd look, and there on one of the twigs would be this chrysalis hanging, where the caterpillar climbed up there, hung upside down, and then wrapped itself in a cocoon, and it was sort of just hibernating there. And I think that is so cool. I wish that we could do that sometimes, right? Maybe you wake up in the morning and you're just like, oh, I'm just not ready to get up. You just wrap yourself up in your blanket and you hibernate for a while. Amen? Yeah, sounds like a good idea. Well, it was fascinating because then after a while, the caterpillar would break out of its cocoon. This amazing transformation had taken place. It wasn't a caterpillar anymore. It was a beautiful butterfly. And then we would take it outside and we'd watch it spread its wings out and it would fly away. A transformation had taken place. There was an end. There was the end of a caterpillar and there was the beginning of something new, a butterfly. Well, that is what spiritual regeneration is all about. It's about new life, a new birth. Being born anew, God doing a transforming work in our lives. So let's look now at Titus chapter 3. Now, Titus is one of those books in the New Testament. It's really small and it's hard to find. It's only three chapters long. And Titus is basically Paul's letter of advice and encouragement to a young pastor named Titus. Titus is what you could call an assistant pastor. He had gone with Paul on some missionary journeys, but now Paul had given a special assignment to Titus. He sent him to pastor a church on the island of Crete, just south of Greece. And so this is a letter that Paul writes. It's full of encouragement and instruction for Titus, this young pastor. And it also talks about the essence of the gospel with regeneration. Now, I'll be honest. As I was preparing this message, I wanted to just skip over the first two verses and go right to regeneration. But it's like I got this little nudge from the Holy Spirit saying, you know, no, I think that people in 2019 need to hear these words just as they did back in the first century. So let's listen to this and see if you might agree. So verses 1 and 2 of Titus 3. Remind them, the people in your church, to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. Now, why do I think this might be applicable for us today? Well, have you ever seen the evening news? It can be so easy for us to be critical and disparaging towards people, especially our leaders. We live in a day where it is very divisive and hostile when it comes to politics. And we can wring our hands in frustration and we can get downright nasty with people we don't agree with. Am I right or am I right? I'm right. But what does Paul say? Paul begins with a call for good citizenship. Paul wants these believers and us to be good citizens, to be good neighbors, to be respectful of the community leaders and the civil leaders we have. And here he says, be submissive. Now, this is not blind obedience to authority. This doesn't mean that you have to agree with them. But he does say, I want you to respect those people for the job that they have and the responsibility to create good order in our society today. Follow the laws of the land where they don't contradict God's word. He says, I want you to avoid fights and quarrels. Be gentle. He even says this. I just love this. Show perfect courtesy. Not just regular courtesy. Show perfect courtesy. And towards what kind of people? All people. Not just people you like or people that are like you, but people that you even disagree with. Listen, folks, you don't have to agree with people, but you can show them perfect courtesy. He wants us to set a good example. And why is this important? I think it's important for Christian witness in the world. You know, that's what Jesus wants us to be, a light to the nations, to make disciples of all nations. And what kind of witness is it when people look at the church and say, look at those Christians. They're always fighting. They're nasty. They're rebel rousers. They're always disrespectful. What makes them different than anybody else? So listen, church, loving your neighbor as yourself, seeking to be the hands and feet of Jesus in a hurting world, and showing courtesy and respect and love for all people, that can go a long way in sharing the gospel of Jesus. Amen? Amen. All right, so Paul says, I want you to set a good example, verses 1 and 2. But then in verse 3, he says, but things weren't always so good for you. And he gives a snapshot of their not so good past. And let me tell you, it ain't pretty. This essentially is a description of life without God. So let's just make our way through verse 3 and look at this description that Paul gives us. He says, we ourselves were foolish, spiritually ignorant, like choosing a life of self-destruction where you live as if there is no God. Next, he says, we were disobedient. I want things my way. I don't care what God says. Easily led astray, easily deceived, easily led into sin. Then he said, enslaved to passions and pleasure. It's like you're addicted to sin. Temptations come and you just give in. And pretty soon you are controlled and consumed by your sinfulness. Passing days in malice. What does that mean? That means that you wake up in the morning and say, who can I pick on today? What trouble can I make? What trouble can I get into today? And envy. Envy is where you look at what everybody else has and you want it. You don't have enough. You want more for yourself. And he summarizes it by saying, we were hated by others and they hated others in return. Everybody was just out for themselves and they hated everybody else. I mean, that's kind of a nasty list, isn't it? You know, and I think that when I look at this list, it can hit a little close to home. Because I can see that same sinfulness in my own heart and in my own life. Essentially, Paul is saying this is a life without God where you are addicted to sin and spiritually dead. And that's what we would be if it wasn't for God. But something happened in their lives and something happens in our lives, and that is Jesus Christ. When we come face to face with Jesus, we can have new life. And that is what Paul describes in the next couple of verses, verses 4 through 7. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Isn't that beautiful? What a contrast! Now, if you have your own Bible with you today, that is a verse, those are some verses that you should underline, highlight, and put a big star by it because it is just that important. God saves us, not because we deserve it, but because of his mercy. When we were dead in our trespasses and in our sins, when we were lost in our sinfulness, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared. You know, it's Trinity Sunday, and I think this is a Trinitarian scripture passage. Because it talks about how God, our Savior, came to save us. And it's through the washing of regeneration, through the Holy Spirit poured out by Jesus, our Savior, who died on the cross for us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all three persons of the Trinity working together for our salvation. So this is a summary of how God saves us. Through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. These two words. And these two words are like sister words. They're slightly different, but they go hand in hand. So let's look at each one of them. So the first word is regeneration. And I don't think that we really use the word regeneration very much in everyday language, do we? I can only think of one case where I have heard the word regeneration, and that is in biology class. Back in high school, science class, right? To regenerate means to create again. So we'd learn about how crabs can regrow a new claw. Or how about earthworms? If an earthworm gets cut in half, do you know the head half can grow back a tail? It's kind of neat, isn't it? Now the question is which, you know, I don't know, how can you tell which is the head half? But I guess whatever part starts growing back, but anyway, regeneration means that there's new life, a new beginning, a rebirth. There was a death, and now there's a life. So in the Bible, regeneration refers to the work of God giving us new life in Christ. This is about being born again, being born anew, a rebirth, a new beginning in Jesus, a new start. And here it's called a washing of regeneration. A cleansing, a washing away of sin where God makes us clean and new. And many Bible interpreters believe that this is a reference to baptism. And I think that makes sense because baptism uses what? Water. And we receive this promise from God to have our sins washed away, a new beginning. We can have the promise of the Holy Spirit. So I would say that, yes, regeneration includes baptism, but it doesn't end with baptism. Because baptism is not some mechanical, magical thing where you just get some water splashed on your forehead. But it points to a deeper spiritual reality that we need to have our sins washed away, that we need to be spiritually reborn and come to trust in Jesus as our Savior. And perhaps the best illustration of this idea of rebirth comes from John chapter 3. It's the story of Nicodemus. Maybe you know it. So Nicodemus was a religious leader. He was a member of the Jewish ruling council, the Sanhedrin. This was a guy that knew all the religious rules, all the spiritual hoops that one had to jump through. But he knew something was missing in his life, and that was a relationship with God through Jesus. So one day he sent a text message to Jesus saying, "Jesus, I want to get together with you tonight." And he wanted to get together at night, probably because he wanted to be discreet. And it was there at this meeting that Jesus said to him, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." And I would have loved to look at Nicodemus' face when Jesus said that. I bet the wheels were just spinning in Nicodemus' head. What in the world is this guy talking about? Being born again? Is Jesus off of his rocker? I'm an old man. How can I be born again from my mother's womb? And that's a good question. I mean, this was in the day before science fiction movies, right? There was no X-Files, no Star Trek yet. He had no clue. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about a physical birth, but a spiritual rebirth, an act of the grace of God, this radical life-changing encounter with Jesus. This is about a life from death. And Jesus goes on to explain what this rebirth is about. He says, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. It's about water and the Spirit. This is about regeneration, where you can have your sins washed away, where you can be filled with the Holy Spirit and you have a new life and you can be spiritually transformed. You can have a personal relationship with God through Jesus. And so just like that caterpillar is transformed into a beautiful butterfly, with regeneration, God makes you a new creation. There is a death to sin, but there's new life in Jesus. I heard a story once that illustrates this. It's about a guy that was just installed as the bishop in his home country, and he was invited to come to Chicago and give a lecture at a prominent seminary. Well, one afternoon, he went out sightseeing, and he was wearing his clergy collar and his big cross necklace, and he got on a bus to go back to his hotel. And pretty soon on the bus, he felt someone tapping on his shoulder, and he turned around, and there was a woman behind him, and she asked him, "Sir, have you been born again?" And the bishop was a little confused. He thought maybe he misunderstood her question because English was his second language. And he said, "Ma'am, excuse me?" And she said, "Have you been born again?" Well, he stiffened his back and he straightened his shoulders and he replied, "Ma'am, I am the bishop in my home country and I am here to give a lecture at a theological seminary." And the bus came to a stop. The woman got up to get off and she looked down at the bishop and she said, "Sir, that's not what I asked. I asked, have you been born again?" And she got off the bus. Well, the bishop said that her words rang in his ears and burned in his soul. And he went back to his hotel room. He opened his dresser drawer and he got out one of those Gideon Bibles and he turned to John chapter 3, the story of Nicodemus. And he realized that with all of his religious training, all of his service, all of that, he still did not really know God personally. So he got on his knees and he came face to face with the grace of God found in Jesus. Now I'm going to ask you something, and this is not a trick question. Can Lutherans be born again? Yes, you better believe it. I'm not saying it. That's what Jesus says, right? This is something we all need. All of us need regeneration because we come before God stained with sin and spiritually dead. And what does God do? He meets you where you are at in your life and he offers you new life and a new birth. He promises to wash away your sins and it's all because Jesus died on the cross for you and God raised him to life 3 days later. Regeneration is a work of God in your heart and in your life, where you have an awareness of your brokenness and your need for God, and you yearn for God. And it begins with repentance, where you admit your sinfulness and you recognize that you are going the wrong way in your life and that you need to turn to God. And it begins with this invitation of Jesus, where Jesus invites you to believe in him and to trust in him and to start following after him. And Jesus promises to give you hope and meaning and purpose in your life. And the promise of God is that you can be forgiven and have new life. It's a new start. Amen? Amen. That's what regeneration is all about. So we not only need regeneration, but we need renewal, the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever gone away on vacation for like over a week and during that time no one watered your plants? And you come back, how are your plants looking? Right? They need some water and they perk right up. They're revived. Or how about this? It's a few days before payday and your bank account is getting a little low on funds. What does it need? It needs to be replenished. Or you go to the restaurant, you finish your soda, you're still thirsty, the waiter comes and brings you a refill. It's been a busy week, you're worn out and crabby, what do you need? You need the weekend to be refreshed. Well, the same is true for us spiritually. We need renewal. We need to be spiritually revived and replenished and refreshed and renewed. And so renewal is the ongoing outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives, filling us anew with that new life in Jesus. We continually need to have that Holy Spirit poured out in our lives to sustain us, to keep us going, to revive us. And why is renewal ongoing? It's ongoing because you never outgrow your need for spiritual renewal. You know, there's this myth out there that, hey, if I'm going to believe in God, that just means that I got to check the boxes. You know, I say, I went to church once a month. I got confirmed. You know, I sing for an hour on Sunday. But folks, God calls us to something deeper. He wants to be at work in your heart and in your life. He wants to be strengthening your faith. He wants you to grow in your relationship with him. He wants to empower you for mission and service. He wants to give you hope and strength as you face the challenges each and every day. Maybe you're here today and you need spiritual renewal. Maybe you feel spiritually dry and empty and barren. Maybe it's hard for you to pray, hard for you to focus on the Lord. Maybe you feel that you're just going through the motions. Or maybe you're struggling spiritually. Maybe you're wrestling with doubts and worry and anxiety. Maybe you're facing trials. Maybe you're struggling with sin and temptation in your life. Maybe you are encountering things that just feel so overwhelming that you don't know how you're going to get through. Well, here's the good news. The same Holy Spirit that gives you new life in Jesus promises to walk with you every step of the way in your life, continuing to pour out strength and renewal and hope in your life. You are never left alone. He promises to fill you anew when you feel empty. So come before God and admit your struggles and ask God to replenish your soul and revive your spirit and fill you anew with his Holy Spirit. Now, why does God do this? Why does God save us? Why does he give us spiritual rebirth and renewal? Well, we get the answer in verse 7. So that we could be justified by his grace and become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. God does all this so that we can have a right relationship with him through his son Jesus. So that we could know him and have a relationship with him, so that we could have life with him forever. And it all begins here. It begins with regeneration, where we are born again through the Holy Spirit and through the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, you are the God of mercy and grace, and you are the faithful God that walks with us each and every day. And we're thankful, God, for this gift of spiritual rebirth. Lord, when we look at our own lives, we can see the effects of sin. We see how we can be easily led astray, how we give in to anger and malice and envy when we disobey you. But we're thankful, God, that out of your mercy and love, you reached out to us and you give us this new birth, this new life in your Son Jesus, this new beginning where you wash our sins away and you make us clean and you adopt us as your own dear sons and daughters. And Lord, we're thankful too that you continually renew us by your Holy Spirit. Lord, each and every day we face trials and temptations. We can feel so empty. And so, Lord, we pray that your hand of healing would be on those in need today, that you would give comfort and peace to those who are grieving, that you would seek out those who are lost, and that you would fill each of us with that sense of meaning and purpose that you have for our lives. And Lord, we pray for our church today, Grace Lutheran, and pray, Lord, that you would empower us for mission and witness here in this community. We pray, Lord, that we would be examples of your love and your mercy in this community. We pray, Lord, that you would unite this church in faith and charity and love, and Lord, that you would be raising up for us the next pastor of this congregation. Bless the members of the call committee as they seek out a new pastor and guide the leaders of this church. And Lord, your word tells us to lift before you the leaders of our land, and so we pray, Lord, that you would bless and guide the leaders of our nation. We pray, Lord, that the rules and the laws would be just so that good can flourish. And as your people, help us to be good citizens as a witness to the gospel. And lastly, Lord, on this Father's Day, we pray that you would bless all the families and the fathers in this congregation. And we're thankful, God, for the fathers and the men in our lives who had a fatherly influence on us. And Lord, for some people, Father's Day is a day to celebrate and to think of good memories. But others, Lord, it might be a day of regret and maybe a hard day of painful memories. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd bring healing wherever that might be the case. And for all of us, Lord, we're thankful that you promised to be our Heavenly Father and that we are your beloved children. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.